Come on!
Look for something unusual. Something hard. Because of my big legs and karate, I can do the splits no problem.
Kumite, and welcome to Van Damme, it's Jean-Claude. I'm your host, Paul Schroyer, and we're here for another month of talking about Jean-Claude Van Damme. This week we have a very special episode. As always, we are talking about the 1990 movie Death Warrant. So, let's go ahead and get right into this. Now, this movie was not probably one of his better movies. It was still fun to watch, but honestly, I don't know. There's a lot better ones to watch than this one. So let's go ahead. Let's read what this movie was about. In this movie, Jean-Claude Van Damme plays a police detective called Louise Burke, and he goes undercover to find out who's been causing a series of murders in a prison. He finds himself locked up with his nemesis, the Sandman, a psychotic serial killer, and yeah, then he gets involved with organ transplant, the black market organ trade. So let's get into this. It starts out with a scene of Jean-Claude Van Damme or Louise Burke going into a seedy-looking hideout, and he's getting a call from the police station saying that, not to go in there. It's too dangerous. But he claims he has to seek revenge for his partner's death. He's confronted by three guys, and he easily beats up two of them, and the third one runs off. Then he pulls out a six-shot revolver. Now, if you're breaking into, like, a gang hideout, you might want to bring something more than six shots, but, you know, whatever. Yeah, I guess it looks cooler. Nice big revolver. So he walks in, and there's nobody in there. He finds a girl who's all cut up and dead on the bed, and that's about it. But then all of a sudden, as he's looking in a closet, he is attacked by some dude who you eventually find out is a serial killer named Sandman. So after getting his ass kicked a little bit by the Sandman, Jean-Claude Van Damme shoots him, and the Sandman says, "You can't stop me." But he gets shot about four times and falls over dead. Then you get about a bunch of 90s music starts playing. I think I like the 80s intro music a little bit better than what they got going with the 90s. But it's cool. You get a title card 16 months later, and it shows Jean-Claude Van Damme walking around hugging everybody in the police station. I guess to show that he's well-liked. That's the only thing I can get out of it. So he goes in and he sits down in an office, and you find out that Jean-Claude Van Damme is a police officer in Quebec, Canada, and he flew all the way from Quebec to Los Angeles to stop the Sandman. Now, at that point, isn't that murder? Because, for one, I'm pretty sure L.A. is out of Quebec's jurisdiction. I could be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure Quebec doesn't have any jurisdiction in Los Angeles. But, nonetheless, Jean-Claude Van Damme goes to another country and kills a man. When he's sitting there, you find out that Burke is actually an undercover officer who was working in a drug gang-related undercover stint when his partner was murdered by the Sandman. He's sitting there with three other people. One's name is Keen. The other name's Tom. And then there's a woman sitting there. It's Amanda Beckett. So Keen, Tom, and Amanda Beckett. And they're asking Burke to go undercover in a prison, the Harrison Prison, to find out who's committing a whole bunch of murders. The previous warden was killed with a spike in the back of his head, and a lot of the other inmates have been getting killed, and so they want to send Jean-Claude Van Damme undercover to find the killer. At first, he's reluctant, says he's got to think about it. And as he's walking out, he's talking with Amanda Beckett, and he claims, you know, he asks her how long has he been working with the Tom guy as a lawyer, and she says a year. And she is supposed to go undercover with him as his wife. She's supposed to play his wife. Now, she gets pissed at him when he's like, you're too green, you're not ready for this, what are you doing? So she gets mad at him and says, you know, I graduated top of my class from Stanford, and that was pretty much all Jean-Claude Van Damme needed to hear in order for him to agree to do this mission. You're top of the class at Stanford, then you can go undercover as my wife any day. So it cuts, hard cuts to a bus arriving in the prison, and out walks a bunch of new inmates. Jean-Claude Van Damme is one of them. And all the prisoners just start like catcalling all the inmates coming off of the bus. They start whistling and yelling out fresh meat and fish, new fish, fresh meat. So that was interesting. You meet the new warden, Hawkins. No, that's the one I do. Man, I should have did a better job. You know how awesome I am with names if you follow Pointless Discussions at all. Well, you meet the new warden, and he's going through the new rules of the prison, and he starts eating peanuts, and he drops the peanuts. Well, one of his rules was don't move. Well, one of the inmates bends over to pick up the peanut and gets his ass beat by the warden with his billy club. And he walks over to Jean-Claude Van Damme and drops another peanut shell. And Jean-Claude Van Damme's too smart for that shit. He does not bend over to pick up that peanut. I guess the warden did this to kind of like show everybody, like, you know, he's not playing around. But whatever. So then it cuts to the infirmary scene. Everybody's getting checked out before they go in, and the doctor walks up to Jean-Claude Van Damme and asks, do you have any communicable diseases? Jean-Claude Van Damme says, not yet, not yet. Which the doctor seems a little bit confused about. I mean, I'm guessing he's planning on maybe possibly getting some kind of communicable disease while he's in jail. You never know what can happen when you're in prison. The doctor makes a weird comment about how JCVD has AB blood type and how that's very rare. And he makes a point to like show that that's important, which that comes up later on in the movie. You find out that Jean-Claude Van Damme's prison number is 72689, and he's staying in cell C-68. He's told this by a one-eyed man named Hawkins, who calls Burke out on looking at his dead eye and said that it got stabbed. That's why he doesn't have an eye. So Jean-Claude Van Damme gets to his cell. His cellmate's standing there, and he stops Jean-Claude Van Damme from putting his stuff up on the top bunk, and he says, it's $500 for the top bunk, or you can give me a blowjob. Jean-Claude Van Damme's like, I'm not doing either. I don't have any money, and I'm not sucking your dick. So the inmate pulls out a knife. Well, Jean-Claude Van Damme quickly defuses that situation and tells him he's taking the bottom bunk. So, why there was a big old fight and a possible dick sucking over the top bunk, I'm not 100% sure at all. I guess to show that you gotta suck dick in jail. I guess that's what it was. Like I said, this movie is not one of his greater movies. After that, the cafeteria fight breaks out. Burke was trying to talk to One-Eyed Hawkins, and a Mexican guy comes up and puts a plastic spork, to Hawkins' throat. And Jean-Claude Van Damme saves him with a roundhouse kick to the gang member's face. Apparently that's not cool. Apparently this jail is super segregated, and all the white people in this movie really like to use the N-word. I felt very uncomfortable watching this. I get it that this movie was made in like the very beginning of the 90s, but they were throwing the N-word around anytime they talked about a black person in this movie an awful lot. Very uncomfortable. Well, the warden comes in, he breaks up the fight, and he walks over to Burke, aka Jean-Claude Van Damme, and wipes the blood off of his mouth with his bare fingers, no gloves, and kind of like rubs it between his two fingers. I guess that's why they were asking about the communicable diseases at the beginning. I get it. Back in the 80s and 90s, they were always tasting blood in movies to find out if it was really blood. But, I mean, the whole AIDS epidemic was out and about during this, so I think they would have known not to touch blood that isn't yours, but whatever. So the Mexican gang dude, yells out that he's going to get Burke. Shouldn't have done that. And after the whole thing's over with, Jean-Claude Van Damme goes over and tries to sit at the black table. All the black people at the table tell him that this is not a good idea, that he's not allowed to sit there. And the white supremacist people won't let him sit there either and tells him to come over and sit with them. So the whole jail cell is super racially segregated. Lots of use of the N-word. I don't know if that's how prison is or was back in the 90s. It was weird. So then it cuts to Jean-Claude Van Damme drinking toilet wine with his roommate. They're becoming buddies. And Jean-Claude Van Damme asks his roommate about the deaths that have been happening. And he says that he suspects that the new warden is involved with it. He doesn't get too much information from his roommate, but his roommate tells him there's a dude named Priest that they should go talk to. So, oh man. I hope that my Windows just said it's going to do an update, and I don't want that to happen. So I'm going to pick a different time. Give me 1 second, guys. I'm so sorry about this. I just don't want this to happen while we're recording, because that would suck. All right. So he has to go find a dude named Priest. Well, so then, he's going about his daily tasks around the prison. He's mopping up the laundry room when the Mexican dude that he fought in the cafeteria shows up. And he, tells him he fucked up. And then an Asian dude comes out with a swinging a chain. So I'm not like I said, I don't really understand the racial segregation in this prison. But I don't know if they just had the Asian dude like, oh, he looks Mexican enough, we'll throw him in the Mexican gang. Or if the Asian gang is part of the Mexican gang. But needless to say, Jean-Claude Van Damme beats up the Asian dude. There's a pretty cool fight scene there. between the Asian dude with a chain and Jean-Claude Van Damme with a broken mop stick. And at the end of the fight, he ends up throwing the Asian dude through one of the laundry machines, and then it turns it on before he leaves. Not sure what that would do. It would probably just get water everywhere, but whatever. So then, Jean-Claude Van Damme's trying to find out more about, you know, what people know. So he heads, when they have break, it shows him walking through the prison, and it shows even more segregation. It seems like all the white people hang out in one of the cell blocks, all the black people in another cell block. Do the Mexicans and Asians hang out together in another one? They don't really show. So I'm not too sure. So they go, and he starts talking to One-Eyed Hawkins, trying to find out information about the murders going on. Dude's smoking some bud with a Jamaican guy, and he's making bullets over heating up water, I guess metal and water over a candle, but he's making bullets for a makeshift prison gun. He finds out more about priests, this dude named Priest, and so he goes with his roommate to the basement, and all the way down, his roommate tells him, like, even the guards don't go down into the basement, which seems a little weird, but whatever. So they go down, and he says all the freaks hang out. Well, this is apparently where it looks like a sex dungeon in the basement with all, but it's full of transvestites and you know, dudes dressed up like girls, because this is an all guy prison. And you find Priest, who's the pimp of all of them. He asks, so he's talking to Priest. He finds out about a dude named Alvin Barrett, who was murdered, and Jean-Claude Van Damme's like, okay, well, give me more information about him. But all information in jail comes at a cost. So he goes and he calls his fake wife to ask for some money so that he could pay these people for info. He uses the priest's cell phone to call her, which I guess is a smart idea. And during this, you see Jean-Claude Van Damme mopping up the infirmary in order to talk to the pharmacist in the infirmary to find out more information about Alvin, because I guess they were cellmates. And you see another dead body get rolled past, and Jean-Claude Van Damme hits a cart and some bio waste falls off. And later we'll find out what's inside that bio waste container in a little bit. So he's, you know, he's just sneaking around the prison pretty easily. He gets into the record office by hiding in a laundry basket. Now this part I don't get. Like, the guard takes his billy club and he starts poking the laundry basket, and it's like going all the way down into the bottom, except for he pokes in a corner and he finds a big jug of toilet wine. So One-Eyed Hawkins and the guards start drinking on the toilet wine while Jean-Claude Van Damme snuck out of the laundry basket and got into the records room. Finds out the information he needs to find out, and he was all good and to go until he goes to close the filing cabinet. And he cuts his arm and makes a big loud noise. So the guard goes rushing in to find him. And Jean-Claude Van Damme hides on the ceiling. A drop of blood falls down. And luckily One-Eyed Hawkins is able to cover it up. Now this scene I've noticed has been redone in like a lot of movies. Like there's movies, people hiding up in the ceiling, and like they sweat, and the drop of sweat falls, and they either get caught or they almost get caught. I'm not sure if this was like the where it originated, like if this was like one of the first movies to have a scene like that, and all those were just kind of like taken from this or what, but I thought that was pretty interesting. So he finds out that there's an SL marked next to all the names of the people who've been murdered. So he calls his fake wife and tells her to meet up with this teenager that he knows who can hack into any system and find out what the code SL means. Now, this teenager is super horny. He wanted to bang this chick, like, the whole time. He was just trying to hit on her. And it kept, like, cutting to him, like, typing on the keyboard. But, like, the typing noises was, like, going real frantic and, like, oh, really fast. But he was not typing that fast. So it could have kind of matched it up a little bit better. But I guess they wanted to make it seem like he was doing a lot on his old Apple computer. Or a Mac, or I don't know what it was. DOS, using DOS to hack into the prison mainframe. He tries, like I said, he keeps trying to hit on the lady. Asks her if you want to watch Star Trek with him. Now let me give you some advice, guys. If you're hitting on a chick, you want to get her to, you know, you want to get her to hang out with you. My advice: do not ask her to watch Star Trek with you. I'm sorry, don't do it. So he finds out what SL means. And he also finds out from the pharmacist dude that another prisoner was spiked. And while he's sitting in his cell, one of the girls, and I put air quotes around girls because it's an all male prison, but one of the priest's girls comes up and warns Jean-Claude Van Damme that somebody is going to kill him in the night and he should stay awake. Cuts back to the kid. He hacks into the prison mainframe using the password Morpheus and uses a dot matrix printer. Now, a lot of you nowadays probably have no idea what a dot matrix printer is, but I just thought, you know, it was nostalgic to see one of those. And they were able to print the file out before somebody on the other side deleted it. And he found out that the SL is marked everybody who had a specific blood type. And that Jean-Claude Van Damme's name, Burke, in the movie, his name was next on the list. So while he's sleeping, one of the white supremacist people sneak into the cell. They piano wire kill Jean-Claude Van Damme's cellmate. And Jean-Claude Van Damme beats him up and stops him from killing himself. But he ends up getting thrown naked into solitary confinement because of it. Then, while he's locked up in solitary confinement, you see the white dudes going around. They kill the lady who warned Jean-Claude Van Damme that he was next. And you see him kill him with a spike. Well, it doesn't actually show him getting killed, but you see the spike. I kind of wanted you to assume. And then it shows the pharmacist that was helping him out. I think his name was Myers. And they end up catching him on fire. They spray gasoline all over him and then dump gasoline in his cell. And they roast him in his cell alive. So finally, the wife shows up like, what the hell's going on with my husband? Not really his husband, but Jean-Claude Van Damme. And the warden and another guard takes her into a room and strip searches her. Now, after getting strip searched, Jean-Claude Van Damme is led to a trailer, a conjugal visit trailer, with his wife, well, fake wife, his undercover wife. And they end up just doing it. They bang it out. Now, I mean, I guess I can see, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme was locked up by himself for God knows how long, so he probably was, like, itching for some action. But, like, this chick just got, like, taken advantage of by the warden, and it was just weird. Like, I don't think she would have been in the mood to bang it out with Jean-Claude Van Damme, but, you know, who am I to judge? They got it on. So Jean-Claude Van Damme's like, I need to get into the infirmary again. So One-Eyed, I keep wanting to call him One-Eyed Willie, but that's not his name. His name's not One-Eyed Willie. It's One-Eyed Hawkins. It's not even One-Eyed. I just keep saying that because he only has one eye. His name's Hawkins. Hawkins blows up a trash can to cause a distraction so they can break in. They break into the cooler and find all those biohazard containers, which they end up opening and find a human heart. So they realize, like, these people who are dying are getting their organs taken out. So then it shows the Sandman, the dude that he shot four times at the beginning of the movie, shows up at the prison, and he's still alive. So he, obviously, the Sandman sees Jean-Claude Van Damme's character, Burke, sitting there, and they go, and he takes him and ties him up with chains in the shower. Now, I'm not going to lie, I thought he was about to get raped, the way they had this playing out, or just murdered, but I guess he couldn't kill him at that point. And they didn't really want to put any rape in here except for what's her name? Amanda Beckett getting sexually violated by the warden. But the Sandman stabs him and tells him he's letting everybody in the prison know that he's a cop, and you all know that they hate cops in prison. So as soon as he gets out and he's walking back, once he lets Jean-Claude Van Damme down, the Sandman says, "Bring me a dream, Burke. Bring me a dream." I thought that was a pretty good one-liner, because his name's Sandman. Well, he's walking back to his cell, and everyone knows he's a cop. So they're, like, yelling, trying to grab him. When he gets locked into his cell, everyone starts tearing books up and throwing papers and books. And they do, like, a pan-out shot, and there is so much, like, paper and books just lying everywhere in the cell. I don't know why, what they thought they were accomplishing by throwing books at him, but whatever. So it cuts back to the Jean-Claude Van Damme's fake wife. He goes to this party. Keen, one of the guys from the very beginning, tries to talk to him. He's like, no, because she's realized at this point that Keen is on it, in on it, and he was the one who was deleting the file that she had found. So she takes Tom into a room, and she's talking to him, and he pulls out a gun. Now, this is where he discloses that his wife was sick and needed a liver to save her life. But even with all his wealth, he couldn't get her on a liver transplant list or whatever. So he paid to have a liver taken from one of the prisoners. And he felt justified in this because they're just killing criminals, you know? But after that, he realized, like, he could make a lot of money selling organs on the black market. So he continued to kill and sell organs of the prisoners. Well, now finally the guard was coming to take care of Jean-Claude Van Damme. But Jean-Claude Van Damme home aloned his cell by attaching wires to his boombox. So the guard's standing there holding the cell, and he's getting ready to open it, or he's warning him that he's, you know, pretty much dead meat. And Jean-Claude Van Damme turns the boombox on and electrifies him. Macaulay Culkin would have been proud. And so he grabs the key off of the dead electrified guard and escapes his cell. At this point, the guards release all the inmates, hoping, you know, they would kill the Burke, and they end up chasing him because he got out first down the hallway. Well, Sandman walks in thinking he's going to find Burke to kill as well, but once all the other inmates clear out of the cell block, he notices Jean-Claude Van Damme's no longer there. As he's running, he is met by the warden, who grabs him and takes him into the infirmary and says he's going to kill him and start harvesting his organs. Well, but one-eyed Hawkins, Lucas, I don't know what it is, Hawkins, and Priest come and they save him from the warden, and they run out and hide in a closet. Well, while they're hiding in a closet, one of the white supremacists punches through the door using what looked like a 20-pound dumbbell and beats the shit out of Priest and Hawkins, but Jean-Claude Van Damme obviously was able to beat the dude with like three punches. It wasn't much. Knocks him out. Then it cuts to the doctor who's doing all the organ transplants or harvesting, and he ends up getting killed by all the inmates. There's more use of the N-word, which was crazy. So they get, what happens is Priest, Hawkins, and Jean-Claude Van Damme end up hiding in the cafeteria. The warden shoots Hawkins, and so he's like, I can't go on, I'm injured. So he's leaving, you know. So they leave him there in the cafeteria, and Priest and Jean-Claude Van Damme dip out. Well, the warden comes in, and he says something that's like super messed up, but he's like, I know you're in here because I can smell the insert N-word. Like, what the, who the fuck wrote that? I don't know. So he finds One-Eyed Hawkins sitting there, and he's getting ready to murder him, but Priest comes back and blows the warden away with a shotgun, and I want to tell you that was probably the most satisfying death in the entire movie, only because of how super racist that dude was. So Jean-Claude Van Damme and Priest are running through the catwalks when all of a sudden the Sandman takes an axe to Priest's stomach and kills him. So now I've got a clip for everybody, even for the live stream, and I'm going to play the audio for the people listening. So here is a clip of right at the beginning of the final fight between Sandman and Jean-Claude Van Damme, which was a really long fight, but I just wanted to show it because Jean-Claude Van Damme yells, come on, with his blood sport face, and it's fucking hilarious. And yeah, I'm just going to play it, and then we'll talk about it. I'm not going to play the whole fight scene because it's super long, but here we go. Here is the beginning of the final fight of Death War. Alright, so he's climbing up the ladder. He's looking around. He's just walking in a circle right now. And then now and then he gets hit in the face with a giant wrench. Oh, that is so funny to me. I'm sorry. He's like, come on! And then the Sandman just chucks a giant wrench at his face. So then they end up fighting for a while. He's getting his ass beat with the giant wrench. He kicks it out of Sandman's hand. He kicks Sandman into a furnace. You think he's dead? Oh no, you can't kill the Sandman. So he comes running out of the furnace, fully burnt, looking like Freddy Krueger. Puts the fires out himself and continues to fight Jean-Claude Van Damme. Well, Jean-Claude Van Damme doesn't want anything to do with that, so he jump kicks the Sandman into a screw. The screw goes right into the back of his head. Still doesn't kill him. The Sandman's just laughing at him. So Jean-Claude Van Damme goes in there and just pushes the screw a little bit deeper and finally kills him. After that, the inmates who were after him the whole time were kind of like, holy shit, this dude's a badass. I'm not going to mess with him anymore. So as Jean-Claude Van Damme's walking up the stairs, everybody clears out of the way. The SWAT team, it shows the SWAT team showing up and arresting inmates who were trying to break out. And Jean-Claude Van Damme exits the prison with One-Eyed Hawkins in a stretcher. So he saves him. And the movie ends with him kissing his fake wife and walking off. Now, I have a lot to say about the ending of this movie. First off, whatever happened to Tom and Keane? The main people responsible for all of this. They're the reason why people were killing and harvesting organs in that prison was because of Tom's wife, and they never resolve it. Never shows what happens to him. Never shows a scene of them arresting him. Nothing. Ridiculous. On top of that, even though Jean-Claude Van Damme gets locked up in solitary confinement, they don't show his butt once in this movie. How many splits do you think Jean-Claude Van Damme did in this movie? If you said anything other than zero, you're wrong. Because he didn't do one goddamn split in this movie. Disappointing. It was good. I liked it. It's a fun movie. Like, it's one of those movies. Just put it on. Got other shit to do. Walk in and out and watch it. Fight scenes weren't very spectacular. Most of them were literally 2-3 punches, a couple kicks. Except for that final fight scene, which was really long. About 10 minutes long. You know, I don't know. Alright, well, that's going to do it for Death Warrant this month. Now, next month, we're going to pick it up with a way better movie. We're going to go into the 1990 movie Lionheart. Now, here's what a little synopsis on Lionheart. It was also known in some countries as the movie Wrong Bet. Jean-Claude Van Damme plays a French legionnaire who deserts his post to return to Los Angeles after his brother is murdered. You know, a lot of themes of, like, brothers. Jean-Claude Van Damme plays these characters whose brothers were murdered, partners were murdered, and he's got to seek revenge on them. Usually, you know, he saves a girl from getting raped, or takes revenge on somebody who gets raped. In this movie, his fake wife gets strip searched and, you know, humiliated. I can't say that word for some reason. But other than that, like, there's no rape that happened in this movie. There's references to it with, like, you know, the blowjob and all that stuff. Never happened. But he did go, at the beginning, he was there to save or revenge his partner who was murdered. So, and Lionheart, why break that trend? He's there to avenge his brother who was murdered. Lionheart was directed by Sheldon Lettich, who co-wrote Bloodsport, and claimed the film was the first movie to demonstrate that Van Damme was more than just a flash-in-the-pan karate guy who would never rise above simplistic, low-budget karate movies. It also featured rear nudity from Van Damme. Oh, now that's what I'm talking about. Now we're getting into the good stuff. So I'm glad they're finally bringing back Van Damme's butt in this movie, and in Lionheart. I'm excited. You know I'm excited for that. It also featured rear nudity for Van Damme, which Lettich says became a very memorable moment for the ladies in the audience and for the gay guys as well. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Back it up. Jean-Claude Van Damme's butt isn't just for the ladies or the gay guys. As a straight male, white male, I can say I like Jean-Claude Van Damme's butt in movies, and his butt should have won an Oscar by now. Fight me over it. showing off his butt, closed or unclosed, almost became a signature trademark of his after that. Now, that's true. Like I said, we've been keeping track every movie does it shows, but how many splits does he do? Did he save someone from being raped? I guess now we're going to add, is he avenging a friend, brother, partner? Is he seeking vengeance on somebody who was murdered? That's another one we're going to add to our checklist. So yeah, tune in next month. Let me pull up my calendar and get you guys a date for that. All right, September 1st. We're doing it on the 1st, like Bone Thugs in Harmony. So, September 1st, we are doing Lionheart. Thank you for tuning in. If you know, have anything to say, first Saturday of every month on Facebook.com/Magic Squirrel Network. We live stream this episode, and I would love for people to join in and talk with me, you know, chat with me about the movies. You know, I give you a month to watch them. Yeah, watch them. And come and talk. All right, guys, that's going to do it. You can email me at vditsjc, there's no apostrophe in its, at gmail.com. MagicSquirrelNetwork.com. You can check everything out on there. Head over to Facebook.com/MagicSquirrelNetwork. Like, follow, and all. Every Tuesday, you can find me on the podcast Pointless Discussions. It's an improv comedy podcast where we bring a guest on, talk to them for a little bit, and then invite them to do an improv scene with us. Each week is a different scene, and at the end we compile them all into one continuous story. So far it's been going awesome. And a lot of the guests have no improv experience whatsoever, but they nail it. You know, it's turning out pretty good. So Facebook.com/Pointless Discussions Podcast, Twitter @PD_podcast. Like, subscribe, please rate and review us. That's the way more people can find us and share us. I love you. Kumite.
The squirrel was magic.